Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are the great King. And Father, thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it as we gather together. Thank you that this is the beginning of Advent, a season of anticipation and hope and longing, not just to remember your first coming, but also to anticipate your coming again. And Father, as we live in this in-between time, between your first coming and your next coming, Lord, I pray that we would live as you want us to live. And I pray as we enter this Advent season that we would be people who would Advent well, that we would be people who would journey through this season remembering and focusing on you, that we would be people who would shine brightly for you in the midst of darkness, that we would be people who would walk daily with you, not only during the days of Advent, but all year long. And so this morning, Lord, as we begin looking at Advent, I pray you'll bless us and inform us and equip us to do Advent well together and in our families. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with a question. What one word describes this Christmas season for you? Think about that. What one word describes the Christmas season for you? Now turn to your neighbor and share that word. Joy, there's a good one. The rest of you going, I can't share what's in my mind right now, right? Here's a word you may not have thought of for the Christmas season: anticipation. Christmas is a season of anticipation. You're anticipating, either positively or negatively, some of the parties you have to go to. You're anticipating positively or negatively some of the family that are coming your way. You're anticipating maybe a concert you're going to go to. If you're in the school system, you're anticipating a holiday. If you're a child, you're anticipating gifts under the tree Christmas morning. The Christmas season is a time of anticipation. And for Christ followers, the weeks before Christmas are also supposed to be a time when we anticipate celebrating the birth of Jesus. And this time of anticipation, or this season of anticipation, is called Advent. It's a time of waiting. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6 says this: I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. And while that's not specifically an Advent verse, those two verses really sum up what Advent is all about. Advent is a time of waiting, of hoping, of anticipating the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Advent starts, or marks the start, of the Christian year. The Christian, or the church year, dates back over 1,500 years. It's 1,500 years old and observed by many in the Christian tradition. Now, Baptists don't traditionally follow the church year. We follow parts of it, but we don't follow the whole church year faithfully. So you may not know much about the Christian or the church year. But the year begins on Advent, and it ends with what is called ordinary time at the end of November. And the church year is shaped by the ministry and the life of Jesus, specifically his birth and his death and his resurrection. The Christian or the church year includes Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Easter and Passover, which is 7 weeks after Easter. There are also smaller special days or seasons that are celebrated throughout the church year. And the first Sunday of Advent, which is today, the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the new Christian year. So Happy New Year. Today is the beginning of a new Christian year. The word Advent comes from the Latin word, which means arrival or coming. And beginning on the fourth Sunday before Christmas Day and leading up to December 25th, Advent is intended to be a time when we prepare for the coming of Jesus. And the Advent season leads us into the Christmas season. Now, most people think Christmas is just a day, but in the Christian year, it is a season. It begins on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, and it lasts 12 days to January the 6th, which is Epiphany. Now you know where the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, came from. See? You've learned something this morning. Originally, a little history about Advent. Originally, there was little connection between Advent and Christmas. During the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, where Advent actually originated, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians on the January feast day of Epiphany. Epiphany celebrates two events in the life of Jesus: when the wise men came, and secondly, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by John. And because Epiphany celebrates the baptism of Jesus, it's not surprising in the early church that it became a day, a major occasion, if you will, for getting baptized. You wanted to get baptized while people were celebrating the baptism of Jesus. And so Epiphany was a major baptism celebration in the early church, which led to a preparation period where Christ followers would spend 40 days before Epiphany in confession and prayer and thanksgiving in preparation for this baptismal celebration. By the 6th century, the Roman Christians had tied Advent to the coming of Christ. But not the coming of Christ we think about, not the coming of Christ in a manger in Bethlehem, not his first coming. They had tied Advent to Christ's second coming, when he's going to come again as the King of Kings and judge the world. It was actually not until the Middle Ages that the Advent season was linked to Christ's first coming at Christmas. And during that time, Advent really had a twin focus. What they did in the Middle Ages is, for the first 2 weeks of Advent, they would focus on and look forward to Christ's second coming. And then for the last 2 weeks of Advent, they would focus on his birth. Advent was a season of remembrance and anticipation. Christ followers would prepare their hearts to remember and celebrate Christ's first coming, and they also looked forward to and anticipated Christ's second coming. Now today in the 21st century, in our Western culture, the season of Advent still lasts 4 Sundays before Christmas, but the primary focus, not the sole focus, but the primary focus in the West is really around preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's meant to be a time of anticipation, a season marked by longing and hope and reflection, a season where Christ followers ponder and reflect on who Jesus is, why he came, what that meant to us, what that still means to us, and even looking forward to his second coming. And so Advent is a time of reflection, of longing, of finding hope. However, in our culture, Advent is often lost to Christmas. The Christmas season often takes out the Advent season. With all the busyness and the stress of Christmas, we really forget about Advent. I mean, there's presents to buy. And if you have young kids, there's gifts to assemble with those lousy instructions they give you. There's parties to attend and there's parties to host. There's relatives that are coming to visit, or maybe you're the relatives that are going to visit. And it's often hard in December, with all the busyness of Christmas, to celebrate Advent well. But how can we do that this year? This year, how can we celebrate Advent well? How can we recapture some of the wonder and the spirit of Advent? How can we make Advent meaningful for ourselves and our families this Christmas season. How can we do that? Well, I think young, expectant Mary can help us. I think Mary's fiancé, Joseph, can help us. I think Elizabeth and Zachariah can help us. And starting next week, we're going to look for 3 weeks at each of them. Next week, we're going to look at Mary and then Joseph and then Zachariah and Elizabeth. And we're going to enter into their lives and we're going to see what they can teach us about Advent and Adventing well. But this morning, I want to do something different. This morning, what I want to do is I want to give you some very practical suggestions that you can take home and that will help, hopefully, help you Advent well. Will hopefully help you and your family have a more meaningful Advent. Will hopefully help you in the midst of all the busyness of the Christmas season. Will hopefully help you remember that the focus of the season is to be Jesus and His coming. So I have 4 suggestions for you this morning. 4 very practical suggestions. Here's the first one. Add some Advent color to your home. Add some Advent color to your home. Now, I'm not going Martha Stewart on you here, okay? We associate Christmas with the colors of red and green and white and silver and gold. However, the traditional Advent colors are purple, blue, and pink. Historically, the primary color for Advent has been purple, the color associated with royalty. Purple is also the traditional color for Lent, and Lent is the season before Easter, and Lent emphasizes repentance and suffering and self-denial. And so to distinguish Advent hopefulness from Lenten remorse, many Protestant churches choose not to use purple during Advent. Rather, they use blue to distinguish Advent from Lent. Royal blue, as you probably know, is also the color of royalty. And so some churches use royal blue to signify the birth of Jesus, the King of Kings. Some churches choose bright blue to symbolize the night sky, emphasizing the heavens from which the angel proclaimed to the shepherd in Luke 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord." And so some churches use royal blue. Some churches even throw in some pink as a minor color because pink signifies joy and happiness. Now you may be wondering, what about red and green? Red and green come from an older European practice of using evergreens and holly, to symbolize the ongoing life and hope that Christ brings to the world. So, can I encourage you to add some Advent color to your home? Maybe get like a blue tablecloth for your table. Or maybe get a purple throw and put it on your couch. Add some Advent color. Why? Because then when you see the blue and you see the purple or the pink or whatever, it will remind you that the season isn't just about parties and food and gift. The season is about Jesus and His coming. And just that color reminder can remind you to focus and remind you that there's an Advent season going on along with the Christmas season. And it can remind you that Jesus is really the reason for the season, and it can focus you on Him. So add some Advent color to your home. Here's the second thing. Use an Advent wreath. I don't know if you know the history of the Advent wreath, but you're about to hear it. The Advent wreath first appeared in Germany in 1839. A Lutheran minister who was ministering at a mission for children took the wheel of a cart and turned it sideways, and he put 20 red candles and 4 white candles in this wheel. And then what he did is each day with the children, he would light a red candle, and then on Sundays, he would light a white candle. Eventually, the Advent wreath, as you probably are aware, was created out of evergreen. The evergreen symbolizes everlasting life. The circle shape of the ring, is a symbol that God himself has no beginning and no end. And some people, you've probably seen wreaths that put on hollies and berries and other things, and they symbolize, the red color symbolizes, Jesus' sacrifice and death on the cross. Now, the four candles, and Advent wreaths have at least four candles, the four candles represent the period of waiting. You light one candle each Sunday of Advent. It symbolizes that waiting. And there's reason it's four candles. The four candles symbolize the four centuries of waiting. From the Old Testament prophecy of Malachi, my tongue this morning and me are not working well together. The prophet Malachi in the Old Testament to Christ's birth in the New Testament. It was four centuries, and that's why we have four candles. And as the candles are lit over the week of Advent, they symbolize the light of God coming into the world through the birth of Jesus. The candles, as they are lit, remind us of what John said in John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It also reminds us, as these candles are lit, that we are called by Christ to be the light of the world, that he is to shine through us. As I said to you last week, Matthew 5, it says this. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And so as you see the Advent candles lit, either in the church or at your home, let them remind you of Jesus, the light coming into the world. But let it also remind you this Advent season that the light here is a reminder to us that we're to go out and we're to be light and we're to shine brightly during this Advent season in this city. Now, each of the four candles represent something different, and there's as many Advent traditions as to what these candles mean as you can imagine. But traditionally, in the early church, they represented hope, faith, peace, and joy. At Sanage this year, they're representing prophecy, shepherds, Bethlehem, and angels. And often, and you're probably aware of this, many Advent wreaths have a candle in the center, a fifth candle, and that is the Christ candle. That signifies the birth of Jesus, and that candle is lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Now, here's an encouragement I want to give you. Why not do the Advent calendar in your home this year with your family? If you've got kids, you can teach your kids what the circle means. You can teach them about the green. You can teach them about the meaning of each candle. You can teach them about the light being Jesus coming into the world, and that we're to be lights wherever we go. The Advent wreath is a major teaching opportunity for parents in their homes. If you're by yourself or just with your spouse, you can use the Advent candle and light it and discuss what the candle means or read a devotional around the candle. If you're a parent, we have a guide we'd love to give you this morning. I'm just going to put this down. Upstairs in our children's resource area, up in our kids' wing, I think there might be some down in the foyer here, we have a family Advent guide. And if you want to do the Advent wreath with your family, what you do is you just go through the devotional each week. So pick a night of the week, say after dinner, one night of the week, you light the candle and you do the devotional with your family. Again, it's a reminder in the craziness of Christmas that there's something bigger going on. Here's another thing you can do. You can journey through an Advent calendar. Advent calendars began when German families in the mid-19th century started counting down the days to Christmas with chalk marks on a door or on a wall. And eventually what happened is variations of the countdown developed to include the lighting of a candle each day or a hanging of a religious picture each day until Christmas Eve. By the early 1900s, a few publishing companies and newspapers have produced simple printed calendars. But Advent calendars really became popular thanks to a German man named Gerhard Lang. And he had grown up with these simple printed homemade calendars, and then he began designing cardboard Advent calendars around the turn of the 20th century. And he came up with the idea, this is the guy that came up with the idea, that you open a door and there's something behind the door. Now, originally, when he presented these Advent calendars with the little cardboard door, there would be a scripture verse or a religious picture behind the door. But then in the 1950s, calendars started including chocolates and small gifts, like this one. You open the door and there's a little chocolate man. Here, Art, catch. There you go. So every day you open the calendar, there's a chocolate behind her. Now today, there's all kinds of calendars. Throw up the next slide here. You can get all kinds of Advent calendars. You can get all kinds. There we go. It's just one of those mornings. You can get tea ones. You can get these chocolate ones. You can get Lego ones. You can even, best one ever, fly fishing Advent calendars, eh? Every day you open it up, there's a new fly in there. You put in your fly box. You can't get a better Advent calendar than that. You know, when I grew up in a loving, non-religious home, and every year my mom would buy me one of these, one of the Advent calendars with chocolates in it. And for me, what it was a countdown to presents. Because I knew when I opened that final big door, it was Christmas Eve, and we were going to Grandma's, and I was getting presents. And that's what it was. But more than just a countdown to Christmas and Christmas presents, parents, you can use, grandparents, you can use the Advent calendar to mark the days of Advent, and that can be a catalyst to spiritual conversations in your family. See, what you can do, parents, is every day after dinner, you can say, we're going to do our Advent calendar now. And before we open the door and see what's behind there, toy, chocolate, whatever. Oh, by the way, if you have more than one kid, get a calendar for each kid. That's my parenting years talking to you there. But you go, before we open our Advent calendar, let's remember why we're opening that door. And you can do a little devotional with your family, and then they open up the door and they get the chocolate or they get the toy or whatever it is. This can be an amazing way for you and your children or you and your grandchildren to stay focused on the fact that Christmas and the Christmas season is going on over here, but there's an Advent season going on where we focus on Jesus. And in all the chaos, an Advent calendar can bring you back to Jesus. And so, again, there's a couple of ways you can get devotionals. If you've got, like, a child or children in kindergarten down, I really want to recommend this one. We have these Jesus Storybook Bibles. They're for sale out in our bookstore. They're $22, and we're not making any money on those. That's just how much they are. But we also have, as a handout, the Jesus Storybook Bible Advent Reading Plan. And so every night after dinner, you read a story out of this book with your family, discuss it, and then you can open your Advent calendar door. If you've got older children, then I'd recommend going to Google, do a Google search. There are all kinds of Advent devotionals out there. Print one off and do it. It's a great way for you and your family to stay focused on Jesus. Here's the last one. So first one is add some color. Second is consider using an Advent wreath. Thirdly, consider using an Advent calendar. Here's the fourth one. Take a few minutes for yourself to daily reflect. The carol Joy to the World that we're going to sing several times this Christmas season, I'm sure, it says this, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Let every heart prepare him room. That's what Advent's about, preparing, making room. Advent anticipates the miracle of the incarnation. It says in John 1:14, the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Advent is a period of anticipation of longing, of hope, of reflection. And during the season, I think it's so important, not just that you take time with your family doing an Advent calendar, doing an Advent wreath, but you take some time individually, just you and Jesus together. Take a few minutes each day to reflect on who he is, why he came, what that means to you. You know, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't think there's any more important time of the year to do that than at Advent, where we just slow down and we take some time to know that he is God. During Advent, we need to daily, I think, focus and reflect on Jesus, the King of Heaven who exchanged his throne for a cradle, the Creator who entered into his own creation, the infinite one who became finite, the giver who became the gift, Emmanuel, God with us. So let me ask you, what do you have to say no to this Advent season so you can say yes to spending a few minutes with Jesus every day? What do you need to say no to so you can spend a few minutes being with Jesus every day? Can I encourage you to just find a really good devotional, Advent devotional? This is one I use. It's called Watch for the Light. And just take a few minutes every day to read through the little devotional. Just those few minutes will help you focus on Jesus in the midst of the busyness. And just those few minutes will allow Jesus to speak into your life. Can I encourage you this Advent season to just take some time and focus individually, not just as a family, not just here on Sunday, but individually get before Jesus and focus on him. So this Advent, why not add some color to your home? It'll remind you to focus on Jesus. Why not do the Advent wreath or the Advent calendar with your family? One's every day, one's once a week, but take what works for your family and just do that and do a devotional around it. And I really want to encourage you to carve out some time every day, just a few minutes to spend with Jesus. Because we always need to remember that Jesus is the main point. And the calendar and the wreath can remind us of that. This table also reminds us of that. Reminds us that Jesus is the main point. This table also speaks of remembrance and anticipation. Remembrance of what Christ has done and anticipation of what he will do. And so as we close out this morning, we're going to take communion. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you something that I found that I want to read you that will prepare us to take communion. And then I want to pray a written prayer. And then Lindsay's going to come up and guide us through communion. But let me read this about what communion is all about. Why do we give thanks at this table? We give thanks because Jesus showed us the way. We give thanks because Jesus is the way. Jesus was a gift from God for the world. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. He came to save us from our sins. Jesus lived a life of thankfulness and gave his life as a sacrifice for many. We give thanks that he is our Savior, Christ the Lord. Why do we eat and drink at this table? We eat because on the night before Jesus died, he ate with his friends. He gave them the bread and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the same meal, he took the cup of wine and said, "Drink this cup. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." What do we remember at this table? We remember Jesus' birth and his presence as God with us. We remember Jesus' life and his love. We remember Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. We remember the resurrection and the promise of life. And we remember that we are waiting in hope to see Jesus again. Let's pray together. Christ our Lord, As we await the day when we will celebrate the Bethlehem birth, we are blessed this day to celebrate communion. This bread and cup which you give to us are food for our spiritual journey. Let them nourish our souls. Remind us of our need for grace, your grace. And continue to bring us together as the body of Christ. Help us to prepare not just our homes, but our hearts for Christmas. This season is not about what the world wants, but what we all need, and what we all need is you. You alone are our salvation. Thanks be to you. Amen.